Fanbase is pioneering a new era of social media for the creator economy. This next generation social media app with over 600,000 users is raising $17 million, and now is your chance to invest. For details on how to invest, visit startengine.com/fanbase or scan the QR code. Another way we're giving you the freedom to be you without limits.
Real life street stars, man. We in here with a legend, man. We got that boy Isaac Hayes, the third owner and creator of Fanbase. If you know anything, like I know, this is a black-owned social media platform, and he has some really big things, man. Hey, Isaac Hayes, man. Talk to us, man. You in Atlanta. This is our first interview in Atlanta, man. Talk to us, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I feel great, man. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for allowing me to be on this great platform of yours, man.
Man, speaking of platforms, you got the platform called Fanbase. And I've been familiar with Fanbase since about the COVID era. I think it was a lot of Clubhouse discussions that were going on at the time. And that's when I caught wind of it. And yeah. Then I had the, you know, my boy Desi, man. I edited an interview that y'all did. I forget the lady's name, but I learned a lot in that interview, and it made me really intrigued to find out about Fanbase and who was behind it and all that entailed and about it, man. Give me a quick overview of what Fanbase is, and then we're going to touch on your backstory.
Yeah, so Fanbase is a free-to-download, free-to-use social media platform that allows you to have followers and subscribers on the same page, and you can monetize if you want to. You don't have to. But it's very similar, if I had to say. It's kind of like a combination of what probably people would think is Instagram, TikTok, and Clubhouse, and a little YouTube, all in one app together. And so it's my way to disrupt the social media space and kind of give people an opportunity to monetize content, because there's so many content creators out here that make dope stuff, but they're not really making no money.
Hey, for me, right, I've been in tech for a long time as a engineer / automation engineer, right? So when I seen this, I said, man, how hard is it to get a social media platform off the ground? We all have, you know, ideas, and we all think of things, and, you know, but to actually get it off the ground and raise money, and we'll touch on that, how hard was it to even start this journey?
Ooh, it was tough. I came up with the idea after seeing a young kid go viral dancing in a Spider-Man costume from Memphis. He
was juking.
He was juking. He was like, you know what I'm saying? He was going in, and I just shot him a congratulations, and he wanted me to manage him. And I thought, wow, like, he's having this big viral moment, but he doesn't know how to monetize. And I was like, man, we need an app where people can subscribe to people like Netflix or Hulu, and like their Netflix. And so that was the idea. So initially I spent like $200,000 of my own money to build like the initial MVP or prototype of the platform. And I didn't tell anybody I built it, because I wanted to kind of like be behind the scenes and let the tech speak for itself. But we were the first platform to allow a person to subscribe to another person using like a face scan or a fingerprint. So that in-app peer-to-peer purchase subscription, I came up with that in 2019. And so we launched, and then we chilled, and then we got to COVID, and things kind of just went haywire. But it was a great opportunity for us to grow at that point.
So I'm looking here, and it's showing that you have 595,000 users just the iOS alone?
Yeah, we just crossed 600,000 users maybe about 3 or 4 days ago on iOS and Android. Fanbase is global. It's in over 190 countries and territories worldwide. It's on iOS and Android. It's free to download, free to use. And it's a growing platform. I mean, I think I don't look at any of the current platforms as competition. I look at Fanbase as kind of like a successor to what a TikTok or an Instagram is. So I think we're going to be the platform that people are talking about 10 years from now, as opposed to today. And that's the strategy to build this so that we grow up with a young generation of users that are using this for the next 10 or 15 years, like they've been using Instagram or TikTok.
I as a proud member and user of Fanbase, how many people do you think signed up just to support you? Because I know I did. When I heard Black Owned, I immediately jumped in, signed up, start posting my content. You know what I mean? How much love have you been receiving from the Black community just knowing that, oh, we have somebody that understands us, the culture, that is trying to push our culture forward?
It's, to be honest, it's really a mix. I think that I've gotten a lot of support. There have been a lot of people that have supported Fanbase. And especially like when I decided to raise capital using this process called equity crowdfunding. So there's a platform that allows anybody to invest in Fanbase without being an accredited investor. And so over the last 3 years, I've raised over $10 million for this app, allowing people to own a part of the company, like owning a part of Instagram or owning a part of TikTok, but you're owning a part of a new company and you're able to grow with. And so when the Black community heard about that, a lot of people definitely did download the app, invest in the app. So I did three successful raises on Start Engine. I'm the first Black man to raise $10 million in RegCF equity crowdfunding ever. And so I kind of felt like we had an enormous amount of success and kind of proven the model that Black people can raise capital for their businesses using equity crowdfunding. And so there's a lot of support. And I wanted to do that because there's so many other businesses that need to be supported this way. We don't always get, you know, we always can't go to the bank and get a loan. You know, we're not really getting VC money. So I wanted to have something and prove that if you had a barbershop or a bakery or a film studio or whatever, you could raise capital for your business and actually have people own part of the company that you're building.
Now, is this, are users still, do they have the ability now to actually invest? Because, you know, there's people that probably are going to look at this interview and go, oh, I want in. You know what I'm saying? So are they available now to go ahead and start investing? And if so, where do they do that again?
Yeah, so this is extremely significant. So to preface this, like social media platforms are really expensive, like to scale and build. And we've been able to build Fanbase, but now we're at the point where we need to scale it. And so to scale it, we have to raise large amounts of money. So I launched a new raise. That's another level of equity crowdfunding called a Reg A campaign. So Reg CF is what I was doing the first part, and now I'm doing Reg A. And so with Reg A, I'm raising $17 million, right? Just launched around probably about a week or so ago, and we've already raised $350,000. But the point is to raise capital quickly so that we can scale quickly. So if anybody wants to invest, and this is important, you go to startengine.com/fanbase to invest. I know it's on my shirt. I wear this shirt like this when I do interviews because it's a little different from when I did RegCF because I could just go on the radio and all that. And there's a lot more stricter rules that puts the limits that I can really only do programs like yours, like, you know, podcast recorded programs that can post a link to the raise and an offering circular. So if anybody wants to invest, go to startengine.com/fanbase. And the minimum to invest is $399. You get about 60 shares in Fanbase for that amount. Our share price is $6.65 per share right now. So you're able to go ahead and invest in the company that way.
So, I mean, with that being said, right, you know, when you invest and you feel like you have part ownership, is that why do you think that's one of the things that separates you from everybody else as far as people actually have the ownership in the fan base?
Well, two things. Like, and you said this before, like how hard it is to build a social media platform. Let me tell you this. Like, Black Planet was founded in 2000. It's the year 2024. So for the last 24 years, I know there are an enormous amount of Black people that have way more money than I do and are way smarter than I am. So how come no one else has built a social media network that tries to rival a Facebook, Instagram, but it just be Black owned, not Black only, but just someone Black that runs the company and spearheads the company in the next era of social media? And the answer is, it's very, very hard to do so. So this is extremely, extremely hard. And so that process, you know, separates us, you know what I'm saying? Like we haven't been here before. Like everything that's going on right now with the app is uncharted waters because we've never had a social media platform that's Black founded, but not Black only. I want to stress that because the Black community contributes so much to social media. they contribute so much to social media. They are the energy and the culture behind what makes these platforms go viral in multi-billion dollar companies. So my thought is, who better than to give an opportunity than to own a part of it than the people that actually use the platform? So we never, you know, none of us never got calls to be like, yo, they're about to launch a platform called Instagram, you want to invest? Or they're about to launch this thing called Musical.ly or TikTok, you want to invest? No one ever let us know about that. And then we turn around, these companies, Facebook is a $2.2 trillion market cap company. Instagram is probably worth $300 billion. TikTok is probably worth $250 billion, you know? And so, you know, we build these into multi-billion dollar, you know, platforms. And then when they exit, it's a bunch of small group of individuals that walk away with millions of dollars and get to go on and do this over and over again. And so Fanbase is my way to disrupt that ecosystem, but also give an opportunity for the users to be owners.
Yeah, so it's crazy because, like I say, I want to touch on quickly some of the features that Fanbase has. You know what I mean? Because I feel like that's the dope part of it. One of the things that stood out, again, when I was just hearing it, and I heard this organically on Clubhouse, right? During those times, it was that, I don't know if it was like every, with the likes, you can get paid from the likes or something like that. Explain the features of the actual Fanbase application.
Yeah, so we call them like verticals. So six basically tools of creation. So we have posts, which are photos and videos. We have stories, we have live. We have short form content called Flicks, which is like our version of TikTok or Reels. We have Fanbase Plus, which is our version of like YouTube/Netflix. So you can post up to 2 hours worth of content for free, or you can put it behind a paywall and monetize it if you want to. And then we have audio rooms like Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces. And so you can actually have those to be subscriber rooms as well. So the subscription is also a part of the platform. So any user by default, if they so choose, can put a piece of content behind a paywall or not for free. But if you want to, you can charge anywhere from $2.99 a month to $99 a month for a subscription. And you get half that revenue. And then there's this other functionality called love. So you like stuff on social media, but I also wanted to show love. So every time you love a person's content, you actually tip the user or the creator of that content half a penny. And we all users on the platform buy love as digital currency to tip other users. So I see people get thousands and thousands of loves, you know, make, you know, $10, $15, $20 off the same type of photo or video they would have posted on Instagram, but they do it on Fanbase and they're making a lot of money doing so.
That's dope. Quickly give me like one or two success stories that you've personally seen, like that you've seen them go on Fanbase, get the subscription model jumping, make a lot of money. Give me like some examples of some of the people that you've seen it work for.
Well, the first example I'll give you is a micro example. The micro example is that we have several users of the platform that actually spent the money to invest in Fanbase and have actually made that money back using Fanbase. So now they have equity in the platform for free. So the $300, $400, $500 they put into the platform, they've made that money back by posting photos and videos, posting subscriber content, participating in audio rooms. So that's another thing. It's not like investing in the company, you know, you have an opportunity to actually make money. So being and having an equity stake in a platform for free just by using it is great. And I think that's the micro version that I think. The macro version is I've seen creators make, you know, $10,000, $15,000 in a month. We have one creator that does that. And what's most important about that is that creator doesn't have a lot of followers. That creator only has about 3,600 followers on Fanbase. The difference is that creator uses all their other socials and puts a link tree and then drives people into Fanbase. So I tell people never leave, you know, I think some people think, do I want you to leave Instagram or TikTok? And my answer to that is no, but I want you to use those platforms as a way to funnel actual people to Fanbase and build a following over there and build a subscriber base over there. So people are making, you know, money, but people are paying bills. They're paying rent. They're making money on Fanbase. And it's not like we're not only fans. It's all types of content that people want to post. And I think we're breaking the stigma that people will pay for content just as people pay for like to watch streamers like Kai Cenat, you know what I'm saying? Watch people stream video games and stuff like that. And so that's even part of the roadmap of what we're building in this $17 million round that we're about to start. We're about to add live streaming for video games to fan base this year as well.
Man, now it's crazy, right? Because when you talk about penetrating a market that's dominated by other races and ethnicities, right? You being a black man, tell me the challenges that you faced as a black man trying to start a tech company where we're talking trillions, billions of dollars, and you have this young black man coming in trying to shake the system up. Like, I know you face some level of challenge or adversity. Tell me about those.
Man, let me tell you, it's been really, really hard. I'll say this. Our community, for one, people in general have a bias against themselves sometimes. So sometimes it's hard to support ourselves. Like, I always say, the people that know you the most will support you the least. I'm pretty sure any business, anybody that started any business knows that. You could be your family, your best friends, you starting to rap, you starting a podcast, you starting a business. They'll support you less than complete strangers do. And that's a challenge that any business faces. So building a social media platform, I think that leveraging, the relationships that I do have, it's been strategic and challenging. But also at the same time, I got to stress the fact that when these companies exit or they go public, the people that own part of these companies make millions and billions of dollars. And so you're talking about myself trying to put black people in the position to become millionaires and multimillionaires and billionaires by either having equity in the company or making content and becoming millionaires and billionaires that way, especially the fact that I've done this without using institutional investors. I didn't go to venture capitalists. Venture capitalists are not, they don't like the fact that I've been able to raise so much money without their assistance, because the first thing they try to do is say, oh, well, the investors are not sophisticated. And I'm like, nah, that's not what it is. The issue is that typically accredited investors get the earliest access and opportunity to invest in startups. So they're like, we want to get our hands in fan base before anybody else does. But I wanted this to be different. I wanted this to be a people's movement. I wanted this to be a young person's movement. I wanted this to be a people of color movement. I wanted this to be a people that are disenfranchised movement. No one tells us it's illegal to go buy $5,000 worth of lottery tickets or go to Vegas and gamble $5,000 on the crap table. But it was literally illegal until equity crowdfunding. It was illegal for any of us to be able to invest in early stage companies the way that I'm allowing people to invest in fan base now. So it was illegal to invest in Instagram. It was illegal to invest in Facebook. It was illegal to invest in IBM. It was illegal to invest in Apple and Microsoft and even like Uber. Like, one of the gentlemen that put $5,000 into Uber, a guy named Oren Michaels, you can Google this. He put $5,000 into Uber. When the company went public 9 years later, his $5,000 turned into $24 million. Oof. I'm like, come on. Like, they're not telling us about this.
Man, I mean, let's just take this from the aspect of, I'm a young person. I have an extra $500 and I want to invest. This just sounds like a good investment when you, like you just said, you have Instagram at billions of dollars. You have, I think Facebook is evaluated at $1.25 trillion.
It's $2.2 trillion.
When you start seeing like the potential of growth, Tell the young user, because, there's a lot of people that come to our platform for all different type of reasons. One of them is they love knowledge and they love, things like that. So when you say I can invest $1,000, let's say 10 years down the line, what would that person that invested that money, what could they make 10 years down the line?
Right, so I don't ever want to guarantee anything, because one thing that I want to say is that when you invest, any investment is a risk. But when you talk about accredited investors, usually those minimums to invest in those companies are $10,000, $25,000, $50,000, the minimum. Like, you can't even get on the cap table. So to say I can invest in a company for $400, $600, $1,000 and have a piece of a company and then ride the success story of that company. And what I think is significant for the young people that watch this or anybody that watches this is you actually have the ability to control the value of the company by telling more people to use it and download the app and building community on the platform. Because users are the thing that give apps their value. Everybody left Instagram today or TikTok today, it'd be worth nothing. It'd be worth $0 and 0 cents. It wouldn't be worth any money at all. So having a platform that has 600,000 users, and I want to scale this past 1 million users by the end of 2024, and then to 10 million, and then 100 million, and then 1 billion, Like, I really, this is a, you know, a lifelong passion of mine to be able to do this in that way. So I think people should definitely take an opportunity. And then furthermore, you know, doing research, for research right now, as of 2023, the Black community had $1.6 trillion worth of wealth that they spend, right? Spending power, $1.6 trillion worth of spending power. And you know what a large majority of that wealth goes to? It goes to luxury items and non-essentials. So we're buying sections at the club. We buy Jordans. We buy bottles. We going on vacation. We're buying, you know, great, like Louis Vuitton handbags. And I get that. Spend your money how you want to spend it. But if you just say, I'm going to take this $500 this week or this month and slide it over and get some equity and fan base, I think that that's extremely important, because I'm going to tell you how little the pool for people to be able to invest in this round is. We're raising $17 million, right? Just going to put that on the table. There are 350 million Americans in the United States of America, about 40 million Black people, right? But if 28,650 people invest $600, that's $17 million right there. Just 28,000 people. So roughly around 28,000 people will get the opportunity to invest in fan base. So it's not like, don't think you got all day or all year or whatever to do this. It's going to be a small amount of people that have an opportunity to own this platform that's on the rise. And so I tell everybody, don't wait. Go to startengine.com/fanbase. Invest. What you'll do is you'll create a profile and then you'll invest through Start Engine. But I don't want people to miss out on this opportunity.
Yeah, that's amazing. When you, like I say, when you know, everybody knows when you start getting money, one of the things you start trying to figure out is what is a good investment. And this just seems like a clear cut good investment. You know what I mean? Just the opportunity to work with an actual social media platform that's on the rise, that already has 600,000 people and growing. It just seems like the no brainer investment. You know what I mean? So what are some of the challenges you get with trying to get people to actually invest and see the vision?
Actually, the challenges are not hard. The challenges we face now with this raise, like before, when I did Reg CF, so I raised $10 million in three rounds. The most you can raise in a calendar year doing a Reg CF raise is $5 million. The one time I tried to raise $5 million, I raised $5 million. The problem is now is I need to raise $17 million in a year. So that's why I had to go up to Reg A. And Reg CF, I could hop on the radio. Like, I went on the Breakfast Club. You know, I could do radio programs or live television. I can't do live TV and I can't do radio. So my hands are tied from being able to really just go to startengine.com/fanbase on like the Breakfast Club. Like, I did that my first raise, and we raised like $1 million in like a couple hours. You see what I'm saying? So
I see.
So the challenges that we face now is just getting the word out. But I want to be very, very clear. I don't want anybody to invest in Fanbase not knowing Fanbase. Meaning, I think Fanbase should speak for itself. I tell people to download the app. Use the app. Like, nothing can speak. I can say nothing better about Fanbase than Fanbase can say itself as the technology and the app that it is. And I think that's important, because a lot of times people say, you got an app, but it's like somebody tell you they got an app and you be like, it kind of like, it don't really be working like that. You know what I'm saying? It's not really that. But I was like, when people get on here like, oh, this is an app. Like, oh, it work. And I'm like, yeah, this is technology. This is tech. So for sure, like, definitely check it out.
Do you get offended when people say stuff like that? Like, oh, like they're taking back how good it looks and how good it works. Is that like a thing that's like, come on?
No, because I'm a first time tech founder. So I've never done this before. I've always been passionate about tech. So I'm not offended, because I think I got to prove myself like anybody that went to school for tech and did it. I got to show and prove just like anybody else. And then secondly, we really don't have examples of ourselves. Right. I Googled found about 11 Black founded social media platforms. I'm not talking about tech. There's a lot of Black people in tech, but people that are building social media platforms that have had some level of significant success in the last 24 years. I can find about 9, right? 9 or 10. One of them is Black Planet, and one of them is Fanbase. Now, the difference between Fanbase and all the other platforms is Fanbase was not founded to be specifically for the Black community. Most of these other platforms are founded to be specifically for the Black community. And I'm like, I didn't want Fanbase to be that, because I wanted the entire planet to use this. I wanted to be able to scale this as big as an Instagram, as big as a Facebook, as big as a TikTok. Like, we have, I think the second largest user group we have on fan base is India. Like, India, with the UK, Germany, Africa, you know, there's Ghana, Nigeria, there's a lot of, like, Canada. There's so many countries that are using fan base in audio, to have audio conversations around the planet and, you know, stuff like that. So I wanted to build something that I didn't want to just, you know, kind of just like, okay, I'm building something specifically for Black people. The difference is I understand how important Black culture is to the TikToks and the Instagrams of the world on the global level. I always say it's impossible to market or promote anything as being cool without the assistance of Black people. It just can't be done. You need our songs, you need dances, you need our skits, you need something, clothing, you need something that says, oh, that's what's next, that's what's cool, then cool, I'm on that too. And so I wanted that global opportunity for Black culture to have a stage and a place of, I feel like, a little bit of protection. I feel like Black culture is not really respected and protected on social media. Meaning,
we're not.
You know, it's leveraged to make other individuals rich. It's leveraged to make other creators famous or other brands rich, but not necessarily the 13 or 14 year old girl that comes up with the dance challenge, right? It's not designed to make her, you know, the Charli D'Amelio of the world. And I wanted to make fan base something that did that for our community as well. But
right out the gate, what is one of the funniest, or what is one of the videos that you've seen uploaded on your platform that either took you back like, oh, this is super dope, or was just like something inspirational?
Ooh, there's actually a lot of videos that are like that. There's some fashion creators. They have this, there's some creators online. They have this audio room and this content called the Dressing Room. So they create audio rooms and talk about like who had the best fashion at the award show, or who was best dressed at this concert. And they have like, they change their avatars inside the audio rooms and they vote hot or not. And it's a real like inclusive, collaborative process. I've seen people actually make money to, like I said, fund some of their own businesses, raise capital themselves by posting content. There's some really good musicians and artists on the platform that are monetizing content. And then Fanbase Plus, I think, is something that's cool because we've had a lot of new creators actually start to join the platform. So we've had recently Earn Your Leisure is now part of Fanbase. Yeah. They're coming on board. They're joining Fanbase. If you guys are familiar with Aaliyah Janelle, she's a dancer choreographer out of Los Angeles that was on Renaissance Tour with Beyonce. So she just joined Fanbase. And there's a couple other surprises that are coming that I want to announce. We got two more partnerships that are about to launch. So I'm excited for the content those people are bringing to the platform as well.
Right. And like I say, you know, our platform, again, is just it's all, you know, we got the hip hop. But some of these people that look at our show are in the tech. They're developers. They're engineers. If they were to say, hey, man, I'm loving the platform. I want to just help out. I want to add my service. I want to be a tech in the fan base world. Are they able to apply? Is there a job opportunity for them? Or are you looking for more engineers, techs?
So there will be once we raise this money, because the reason we're raising $17 million, and let me tell you like what we're going to do with that money. First of all, we got to be able to expand our development team. Like, my development team right now is about 25 people. We want to expand that to about 75 people, right?
Gotcha.
Really scale it up really big, because it allows us not to compromise what we build. We can build a lot of things in unison. So there's some things that users want that we have to say, we're coming with that, but we have to manage our assets very, very well. We have to manage our time very, very well. And so again, like I said, social media platforms have raised like a lot of money. I can even give you examples of other platforms that, I'll give you a little bit of this. There are other platforms that were founded as fan-based competitors. This is real. Mm. There are platforms that are founded as fan-based competitors and had raised more money than Fanbase and gone out of business in faster time than we did. One of them in particular, FanHouse, raised, I think, about $36 million in the Series A and went out of business in 18 months. There's another app I think people were familiar with. It was called Riff. And Riff had raised about $11 million. And I think they just recently went out of business maybe a couple weeks ago. And they were kind of like a audio, video, kind of chat room competitor. So this is very, very difficult. And so we got to be able to hire people, right? We also got to be able to get exceptional talent. I mean, you know, good talent costs. So we got to be able to pay some, you know, significant executives to come on board and do that. And then thirdly, it's about protecting also some of the IP that we did. Like, again, I stress to you all the time. I stress to people all the time that I invented in-app peer-to-peer purchase subscriptions. So I want to be very clear. That doesn't mean you pull out your credit card and you subscribe to somebody like you do on OnlyFans. You subscribe to something on Netflix with your credit card. But when you can take out your phone and click a couple buttons and a face scan come up or a fingerprint come up and you subscribe to a person, I invented that. So when you see Instagram doing that, when you see TikTok doing that, when you see X doing that, when you see Snapchat doing that, they all got that from me. None of that existed before 2019. As a matter of fact, I think the first examples of platforms doing that were probably around 2021, after like we had already built. And Apple even let me know that, like, I heard Instagram was building subscriptions and there's a particular way that I wanted to build it that Apple wouldn't let me build. And we went back to Apple and was like, how are you letting Instagram do what you wouldn't let us do? And their response to me, you have a rep at Apple, and our developer rep said, well, Apple's had a change of heart of how they view subscriptions. And I say, I bet they have, because there's 616 million people on music streaming services, but there are about 6 billion people on the planet with a smartphone. So people subscribing to people the same way we subscribe to Spotify or Netflix is going to be bigger than any of those platforms could ever be, because not only can you subscribe to one person, you can subscribe to multiple people and create a content package of the stuff that you want to see. So if you really like Kai Cenat and you really like Cardi B and you really like the Lakers and you really like Mercedes-Benz or Starbucks or whatever it is, you can create and subscribe to those individuals' piece of content, but still be part of a community of free content. So I can still scroll the feed, DM my friends, do all the things you do on other socials within those pieces of content that you really want to, you know, support and be involved in. You can do that as well.
Man, that's kind of disheartening to hear. I'm hoping that they were licensing it from you, not just stealing it, because we've seen Instagram do that with Vine. Take the 3-second video and turn it into 15 seconds and it put them out of business. Do you ever worry about these bigger companies just straight taking your IP, creating it on their end with their user base so large?
They do it all the time, right? And here's two things that don't, I'm not, that give me confidence, right? One is, I had a VC tell me, why would you want to build a platform like Instagram or Facebook? Like, Mark Zuckerberg is a monster. Like, Facebook is a monster. Like, why would you want to build something like that? And my response to that person was, and this was a VC, and I said, I can build everything that Facebook and Instagram can build. They can't build black people. So their apps don't work without black people. So the ideas come from young people and come from black culture. So the money is the difference maker. The money is the thing that changes the way that we're able to scale these platforms. So if you think about it, all the things that we use on social media, these apps didn't come up with that. Retweets and DMs and all these cool functionalities, those are things that users ask for. That's where we get creative, and they just set the app out there in front of us. They just set it out there like, all right, here. And then we come and put our sauce on it, and then they build that. So I have my own ideas, which is another thing we're doing with the raise. We filed about 8 patents on a lot of different things. There's other things that we did. We even filed a patent on content migration. So if you have a Instagram page or a TikTok page, you can literally copy all of your Instagram content and paste it over to your fan base page from Instagram or TikTok, and it'll still stay on those platforms, but it'll paste all of it over on there. So you don't even have to start from the beginning. And we filed a patent on that too. So I'm taking the ideas that I have and I'm trying to protect them as well. So I'm not just out here like, you know, moving willy-nilly. There's a strategy and a plan behind what we're doing.
Man. So talk to me about the crowdfunding investment.
Yeah. So let me explain the Jobs Act. So the Jobs Act was created in 2012, signed into law by Barack Obama and Joe Biden. So one thing I want to make sure that people understand, because a lot of times we always hear in the black community, what has this person done for the black community? What has this person done, you know, for the black community? The Jobs Act basically wiped out the accredited investor rule. So that means it gives anybody watching right now the ability to raise capital for their business without without having to be go to accredited investors, without having to go to a bank, without having to go to these VCs, but you can raise the money from your community. And so the accredited investor role has existed since 1933, and it ended in 2012 and went into law in 2015. So for 83 plus years, I don't care what color you were, this was always a plan about wealthy people having access to the best opportunities before anybody else. So when the Jobs Act came into position, all these crowdfunding companies started popping up, and Start Engine was one of those companies. And shout out to my good friend, Dawn Dixon. She was the first Black woman to ever raise $1 million in equity crowdfunding. And she taught me how to raise capital. She taught me her strategy on how to raise capital. And I took that and put my spin on it. And so three Black women actually are the reason that I was able to raise this capital. Shout out to Monique Idolet and Angela Benton as well, because Monique is the one that says you need to try equity crowdfunding. And Angela Benton is the woman that said, I'm going to introduce you to Start Engine. And then Dawn is the one that gave me the sauce. So I always want to let people know that three Black women are the reason that I was even able to get into equity crowdfunding. I'm going to be able to do this.
Shout out to the Black queens out there, yo.
Absolutely.
Y'all make the world go round, for real.
Let me, I want to add a little bit more about the equity crowdfunding space too. So yep. With that being said, and this is a question that gets asked all the time, is how do I get my money back? Right? So if I put money in a fan base, how do I get my money back? So typically when you're investing in like a seed stage or an early stage like this, these rounds, I say you're with the company through the entire life cycle, all the way to the end. So if that's 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, you're in it to wherever the eventual outcome of that company is. That means if the company goes public, gets acquired, gets merged, or goes out of business. Those are the four eventualities for Fanbase. One of four things will happen with Fanbase. It'll go out of business, which I don't think we're going out of business. It'll get merged with another company, and everybody that's an investor will get bought out. It'll get acquired, right? And everybody that's invested will get bought out in the acquisition, or will go public on the stock market, and everybody that's invested will sell their shares the moment that the stock opens, and then the company goes public and you cash out. So you hear Nas, you know, getting out of Ring, getting out of PillPack and those companies like that. Those are the same kind of exits you're talking about. It's like an exit. So that's when you do. So it's called a liquidity event. And so that's the eventuality. It's like you invest your money and then as big as Fanbase gets. So if Fanbase is worth, right now, we're worth $160 million. It started out as a $20 million company. Now we're worth $160 million. So let's say 8 years from now, Fanbase is a $160 billion company. If I decide to go public or sell, then you cash out at that valuation. So your shares will multiply. The value of your shares will multiply by that multiple by the time we either get acquired or exit.
Man, that's so with that being said, I mean, you know, again, where is it that these guys can go? Name that source that they can go again to go actually go invest right now.
Oh, yeah.
Start Engine.
I got this. And you can see this link. I'm telling you, you're going to see it. Startengine.com/fanbase. The minimum to invest is $399. We're raising $17 million. That's probably about, like I said, about 28,000 people investing $600, and the round is closed. That's it. And I've seen, like, when I do programs like this, the raise tends to go viral. We tend to see big spikes in investment. And so I know your platform gets millions of views, like the people that are watch these videos over time or the next few weeks, the next few months. But I say, as soon as you see this, like, don't wait. Take the opportunity to invest and do that, because this is a watershed moment in Black culture and Black history. I keep saying it all the time, we've never been here before. I ask anybody to go find a Black founded social media platform that's for everybody. So it's just like Facebook or TikTok, that's owned by someone Black, that's owned by the people that use it, that's existed. You can't find one. Fanbase is the only one. It's the only one that you're ever going to find.
And one of the things I want to ask, right, and this is just a personal thing, right? With social media platforms, there's a tendency to either demonetize us, you know, we'll build up these platforms to hundreds of thousands of followers, and then all of a sudden now the social media platform has a problem and demonetizes us. So like TikTok is the worst. You'll post some stuff, and right now I'm facing where I post my own copywritten content and they're telling me it's unoriginal. And I'm like, I'm the creator. I have the trademark. And there's no way for them to. So, like, what does fan base do in those instances?
Well, the first thing I'll say is I'll let everybody know that every single person that's on Instagram and TikTok, those platforms are in competition with you. And the reason being is that they never let everybody see all of your content, which is something that we do on Fanbase. I want to enter into the engagement era. Like, the following era is something that has existed, but I want to move past following into engagement. Following is actually less important as engagement. And what I mean by that is, I got to ask you right now, would you rather have 1 million followers and 100,000 people see your video, or 100,000 followers and 1 million people see your video? You want the views. So the following is secondary to the engagement. So on most of these platforms, those platforms know that. So if you could reach, and I say this all the time, this is something that I've probably said 100 times. Why would Instagram let you reach 1 million people when they're about to turn around and charge Starbucks to run an ad to reach 1 million people? It doesn't make sense, because if you can reach 1 million people, Starbucks would come to you and say, let's run this commercial on your page and pay you, and Instagram would never make no money. So they wouldn't even have a business. So for that very reason, all these platforms suppress your content. They limit your visibility. They play games. They shadow ban you. They suppress you. They ban you. They do all these things, right, so that they can make money and you can't. I always say, like, people like The Rock got, like, almost 400 million followers, 380 million, 360 million followers. That's almost four times the amount of people that watch the Super Bowl every year. You know, people pay like $7 million for a 30-second spot on the Super Bowl. So if The Rock could post a video and reach 360 million people whenever he felt like it, he can make like $28 million a post and never shoot a movie again. He wouldn't have to, because the moment that they added video into social media, it became a television network.
That changed the game.
We're all networks now. And so we're all curating our own content. We're all creating this. And we got, like, Risa Tisa, she's made her own content, right? You know what I'm saying? Like Morgan with the random man from Atlanta, like all these platforms are creating, like, internet stars, right? Social media stars, Kai Cenats, like people, Drewskis. So everybody's a business, right, in social media. So I think that's extremely important as well. It's like, we don't play any games with your visibility on Fanbase at all.
So that alone is a reason to join Fanbase, because they play. As a person who has 800,000 people on Facebook, they just play with, and they tell you, hey, you know, we didn't like what you posted, and it's just an interview, and they'll tell you, hey, we're not going to show it to this many people now. And they play too many games. So that's definitely refreshing to hear. And like I said, you understand some of the plights that we go through just being a social media content creator.
Absolutely. I mean, it can be depressing. There's creator burnout. For every Drewski or Kai Cenat, there's probably 100,000 kids that quit because they're not getting the views and they're putting their heart and soul into this content. They're making videos, they're spending time, money, buying equipment, and these platforms are playing games with you. They're like, you know, you like my man Super Ray 14K, like, yo, his engagement went off a cliff. He got to like 1.3 million followers, and he hasn't grown any past that. It stopped. He got to 1.3 million and they deaded him because they said, oh, now you're getting to a point where you can really monetize that. So unless you're boosting your post, right? So they're paying you to get the reach that they want. Unless you're boosting the post, then no. So I want people to have as many followers as they possibly can get on Fanbase. But on top of that, we're going to send your content to people that that don't even follow you, again, to give you that engagement like you get on TikTok.
Yeah, that's I'm invested. My 600 coming. Now, another question that I had, what advice would you give the content creator in 2024?
12. Well, I'll say that there's been that Vine generation of creators. I feel for those generation of creators, the creators that have been making content probably since like 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. That era, because most of those creators made a lot of money off brand deals, right? And then they change, or bonuses from reels and stuff like that. And then they decide to stop paying altogether, or they change the way you're allowed to monetize and make your money. And so my advice to content creators is start monetizing your content today. I know you don't think that people will pay to see your content, but the reason that the app is called Fanbase is because everybody has a fan base. And what I mean by that is buried within your following is a small group of people that want to see you succeed, even if it's 5%. So even if you have, let's say, 100,000 followers on social media, out of those 100,000 people that follow you, 5,000 people really rock with you. And they will support you. You may not think it. They'll support your most mundane, regular content that you're making. It could be you washing dishes. It could be you just chilling at the park, skating or doing whatever. There's 5,000 people that will pay to see that content to support you because we're, especially younger generations, they're transactional. They want to see, you know, the younger people win. So when you take something like that, you take 5,000 people subscribing to you on Fanbase, and you'll get $2.50 a subscriber. If you charge $4.99, you'll get $2.50 a subscriber. That means that's $12,500 a month. That's $150,000 a year. That's more than like 97% of Americans making a year. Imagine making $150,000 a year from 5,000 people just making content that you want to do. That's the future. And I tell people, if you don't start monetizing your content today, 5 years from now, you're going to regret not starting today. Because you see, even Kai Cenat has like, I think he has 5 million Twitch followers. Yes. But he has 83,000 Twitch subscribers and he's making $400,000 a month.
Yeah.
At 22 Crazy. Years old, 21, Crazy. 22 years old, making $400,000 a month. And he's that new generation. So he isn't in that generation that was doing the skits for brand deals. He's like, no, this is direct consumer business. This is direct consumer. I monetize my content. Those people want to support me. And he has those people subscribe to him, making $400,000 a month. And anybody can do that. We just don't. Kai's just bold enough to put a subscription button on his page. And I'm bold enough to give everybody a subscription button on Fanbase and prove that people will subscribe to you.
And I'm going to give you a testimony. I just logged into my Fanbase. I haven't posted in a while. I'm going to start posting like crazy now. But off of two videos, I've made more off of Fanbase than I have off of Instagram. And I got 400,000 followers on Instagram.
Wow.
So it's hey, and you know, like my strategy has always been whatever platforms I can make money on, I'm going to post them on all of them. Yeah. So it's like, if nothing else, add Fanbase to your mix, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, add Fanbase to your mix because they're not hiding the distribution. They're not hiding your following. They're getting to everybody. You might as well, you know what I mean? And then not only that, but we have a black owned company that's raising money that you can invest and be a part of. You might as well get in while it's early.
So social media, like celebrities don't make social media platforms, communities do. These platforms right. wouldn't exist. Fanbase would not exist without the community of people that use the app on a daily basis, posting right. clips videos, posting regular photos and videos, going to audio rooms, going live. Like the platform wouldn't exist from that. And so this is just a successor. Again, like I say, it's like another thing that gave me confidence. And I think you asked me earlier about the challenges is something that we have to recognize and realize, right? Is that there's no amount of innovation that Facebook and Instagram can do to capture kids. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Because kids right. are always going to want to be on apps that their parents are not on. So as right. soon as my mama got on Facebook, bye Facebook. Gone. I'm gone. I'm out.
Out of here. Yeah.
And I got a little brother who's turning 18 this week. He is nowhere near Instagram. He's more on a TikTok generation. So I wanted to build something that young people say, this is my social media app, my generation. I can get on this. Now, mom and dad could come there too later on, but we going to kick this thing off. And then 20 years from now, Fanbase will be the old dude at the party and be like, nah, my daddy on Fanbase. My mama's on Fanbase. Like, and then, but by that point, Fanbase could be a $300 billion company. And it will prove in exactly, you know, what I know, which is that young people and especially people of color are what make these apps popular.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I heard you say that Earn Your Leisure has jumped on board. I'm a big fan of what they do. I get a lot of knowledge when it comes to financial stocks, bonds. They're also, you know, on some of my favorite podcasts. They just go around giving out game. What is the collaboration between you and them? Are they going to be doing something special with the app, or are they just on there as a consumer?
So one thing that we're doing with them, I can't say.
Got you.
But it's something that we're doing this year. But they're going to be doing like exclusive audio rooms, lifestyle content. So imagine, you know, being able to be in audio rooms and having conversations, talk to the guys. And then exclusive content that's a little bit outside of the realm of what they do specifically with like EYL or Market Mondays, but other things. Because again, what I tell people all the time is that, and I told the guys this, I was like, people want to know as much information as they have. There's always, there's also an interest of like, how are you living your life doing what you're doing? What do you eat? Where do you shop? Like, how do you spend your money? How do you spend your time? How do you relax, or how do you stay fit, or whatever it is? And people want to know that about a great many people. And so there's a lot of things that everybody can learn from Troy and Rashad. And I think it's extremely important. But I told them that, and they're excited to come on board and start doing content over there. And again, like I said, there's some other content partners that are coming. Like I said, with Aaliyah, like, she's posting like behind the scenes videos of, from her on the Renaissance tour with Beyonce, and choreography content and stuff like that. And she's married. And so she has content like that. And so I think, you know, these partners that we have, we're curating like content that I think people want to start to watch and really be invested in from the people that they really care about. Earn Your Leisure has a fan base. Aaliyah Janelle has a fan base, right? And again, I'm not saying that, you know, if you know, Beyonce got 100+ million followers, if every time she dropped an album, she don't sell 100 million copies, right?
Right.
Because those are people that, I say 95% of the people that follow you passively. Meaning they follow you like a magazine at the checkout aisle at the grocery store, like, oh, okay, cool. They're nosy or they're haters, right? that's just the truth.
Yeah.
But there's that 5% to say, I like that. I like Street Stars. You know what I'm saying? I like Aaliyah right. Janelle. Like, I want to see them win. Like, I'm gonna subscribe to their content and make sure that they can start making better content. And they, I like these creators. I want to, like, that's what they're doing with Kai. They want to see right. Kai win. So you got a small group. You got 83,000 people out of the 6 billion people on the planet. You got 83,000 people making sure that he's making $400,000. That's almost $4 million. That's over $4 million a year. So imagine, that's, that, yeah. that's 83,000 people, and you're making $4 million a year. And I know people that got 13 million TikTok followers ain't making $400 a month. You understand what I'm saying? So it's just a difference. You've got that monetization mindset is something that the young kids are going to get, and they're going to run with it. I'm telling you, you're going to be mad because there's going to be some 22-year-olds walking around here worth $1 billion. You'd be like, man, I've been doing these dances and these skits trying to get brand deals. And I'm like, ah, the money is in your fan base. That's where the money is in subscriptions. And that's going to change the world.
Monetization mindset, you said? That's a shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I need that.
You gotta have that monetization mindset. That's the
mindset.
People are afraid of that. People are afraid to put. It's like an artist being afraid to put their music out, thinking nobody will listen to it. You gotta put it out there. You gotta put it behind a paywall, and you can't put it behind a paywall and then not promote it. You gotta put it out there and drive promotion, because the people that are the most successful on fan base also are the people that drive people to fan base from their other socials. That's any platform. That's OnlyFans. Facts. That's Patreon. The people that are the most successful on those platforms are the people that drive people to those platforms, right? From other places. So it's called funneling. So it's like, I'm going to take my 5 million, 6 million followers over here, and I'm going to funnel them over to fan base. And then out of those people I funnel, those people are going to come and subscribe to my content. So you got to practice that strategy, because it's not like you just put something on a paywall and it's going to show up. That don't even work on OnlyFans. I don't care how fine a woman is. She still got to tell people where to go.
She still got
to
promote that mug.
Yeah, they still got to post the link. Yeah. It still got to be link in bio every post. So just like you see link in bio with OnlyFans, do link in bio with your cooking videos, link in bio with your rap videos, link in bio with your dance videos. You got to do the same thing. It's like, it's a lot more difficult than I think a lot of people think. And if you dedicate to the process of marketing your content as creating content, you will be enormously successful.
For anybody that wants to invest, start up, get in on, you know, the monetization mindset, tell them again where they can go and invest in this product.
So you can go to startengine.com/fanbase to invest. Everything you want to know about Fanbase is on the page. What we do, what we've done, what we're using the money for, how our success, our growth, all those things are there. So go to startengine.com/fanbase to invest. And the minimum to invest is $399. And so I think, again, like I said, it's extremely important. Again, it's $17 million is a lot of money. But again, like, these platforms have billions and billions of dollars. And I've had people tell me and open up Fanbase and say, this looks close to Instagram and you only raised $10 million. I'm like, yeah, what you think I'm going to do with $100 million? What do you think I'm gonna do with this $17 million? Like, we know how to make the most out of the least. I've had to be very, very careful, meticulous, responsible with doing this. It's not, I've never taken a salary. I don't pay myself to work at Fanbase because I figure whatever I would pay myself a salary is better spent on helping the platform grow. I'm passionate about this. People that know me, like I really don't go anywhere. I'm really focused on building this business because I love it so much. So I want people to see the dedication and the passion that I have and then join the community and then join the race.
Man, that's lovely, man. Like I say, I've been on Fanbase for a while now. I'm a supporter. I actually got money in Fanbase. I didn't even realize that was in there. So I'm going to keep posting. I'm going to keep making my money. I got the monetization mindset. Isaac, is there any shout outs that you want to give before you get out of here?
Oh, man. I want to shout out my team at Fanbase, man. I want to shout out like all the people that work at the company. This platform and this company wouldn't exist without a multitude of individuals. We have a large team. It's still growing. I think everybody in here does an amazing job in what they do in marketing, our digital department, our analytics department, all the things that we got going on. I appreciate everybody that works. It's a total team effort. Shout out to my COO and CTO, Ramiro. Shout out to the entire marketing team. Shout out to Andy, who's been doing content at Fanbase, and he works in the content department. So a lot of the videos and content you see, he does. Shout out to Desi, of course.
Shout out to Desi, man.
Putting us together, man. Shout out to Desi. Desi was in town this weekend, and we were talking a lot about stuff, too. But I'll give him a shout out. Dallas is an amazing place. And shout out to the city of Dallas, too. I hear so many great things about Dallas. It's like I hear it's special because there's a lot of black wealth and talent and energy coming out of there now too. And I love to see us grow, you know, in our communities and build wealth that way. And shout out to you guys. Shout out to Street Stars. Like, thank you guys very much for having me. I appreciate it, man. You guys this is a blessed opportunity to be able to do this and have these conversations and reach people in the way that I'm able to do this. And you guys allow me to.
Yeah, man. Like I said, we are supporters. We've been on there. Look for Real Life Street Stars on Fanbase. We've been out there. So we're not just talking. But I'm talking from a place of actually using it just from organically hearing the conversations on Clubhouse. By the way, what happened to Clubhouse? That just seemed to just disappear.
You know, I mean, it's still around. And we had a lot of people leave Clubhouse and come to Fanbase. And I think they didn't respect the community over there. I think they mistreated a lot of the black community. And one of the things that really sparked what's going on with Fanbase is, if you know, in when we were in COVID, audio rooms didn't exist on Fanbase, right? They didn't exist. And I think I got on Clubhouse and there were like 4,000 people on the app. So if by that, and that was in August. By January, there were 1 million people. And that first 1 million people wanted to invest in Clubhouse. And they approached the company about being able to invest in Clubhouse. By that point, I had already raised over $1 million for Fanbase and wasn't even really thinking about audio. But they went ahead and raised $100 million at a $1 billion valuation and didn't let anybody invest. And I turned to my CTO and said, we're building audio in Fanbase. And 2 months later, we had audio on Fanbase. We had audio rooms on Fanbase. And so I wanted to give the people that didn't get a chance to invest in Clubhouse that helped make Clubhouse a $1 billion company to have equity in Fanbase and take their conversations and their talent over there and do the same thing. So if you're any audio creator, any person that's been on any of these apps, X, Clubhouse, whatever the Green Room that went away from Spotify, app on Amazon, if you're any one of those creators and never felt like you really got a shot to really explode and be your best at audio, come to Fanbase and join the audio rooms too, because it's an amazing audio community over there. And again, invest and buy some shares. I mean, if you're gonna help put your energy and time into something, be an owner of what you're doing as well. So that's what I encourage people to do too. So I don't know what Clubhouse's future is. I'm just concerned about Fanbase's future. And we got a lot more. There's a lot more to do in audio. That's why I get excited, because we're doing things in audio that they didn't even think about doing. And we're filing patents for that stuff. So that's the reason why we're raising this capital, is because the ideas come from young people, people of color, people that don't have a lot of money. Like the minority of this world are the ones that come up with the great ideas, right? The people that make the most out of the least. And so in our community, we do that all the time. And so I'm looking forward to what other ideas and creative ideas people bring to Fanbase, so they can contribute to the community, but also as investors and owners as well.
There you go. Man, this is the best part of the show. Isaac Hayes III, man, you are a real-life street star, man.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.